if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Clovercrest Media Group and CMG Podcast. We're streaming live on StreamYard. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. Right on time, Sander. How are you guys doing?
Chilling, you?
Doing good, baby. Doing good.
Guys, it's Monday. I'm excited for a new week of sports. You know, we got ex-NFL players making a comeback. We got star pitchers going down. But we're going to start with the NBA, guys, because Luka Doncic now, he's starting to build this reputation right now. People are starting to question whether this guy is dirty or not. Yesterday, there was a play where he got ejected for a supposed low blows, a little sus, you know, you could say, to Colin Sexton for the Cavaliers. You know, he gave him a little nut tap real fast. You know,
cup check.
A little cup check. There you go. There's a lot of ways you could go about it. But nonetheless, he was surprised about it as you see his expression. Great. You know, he tried to act surprised. Some people said he did it on purpose. Some people are saying that it was just a mistake, pride. So let me ask you, you know, with all these antics coming up, is he developing a sense of being a dirty player?
I don't want to call him dirty yet. He's getting there. I ain't going to call him dirty now. At the rate he's going, by the end of the year, he's going to be the second coming of Grayson Allen. I mean, the antics this guy's putting up right now, it's making me kind of look at him a little funny. I'm looking at him like, "Yo, Luca, I like you, dog, but you're doing some weird stuff." Look, man, when Colin Sexton came and kind of gave him a little bump, right? In Luca's mind, he said, "I don't care who's behind me. They're going to feel me." Okay? So I think what happens, he swung his arm, and what he wanted to do was kind of do like what a lot of players do. They just, boom, they do a quick hit. I think he just kind of flung his arm, and he, again, this is me being a Luka fan and me just trying to defend him. I think he accidentally hit him. I think he was trying to go in there and bump him back. I don't think he meant to hit him below the belt. He's definitely a chippy player. Like, but again, when I think dirty, right, I think of Grayson Allen. I think of Draymond Green. I think of Zaza Pachulia. Luka's not there yet. He's not there yet. Now, I will say this. He's getting there. If some of the stuff he's doing, if he continues, oh, he will be considered dirty. I ain't going to call him dirty just yet. I just think he's a young, chippy player who let his emotions get the best of him. Because, like, we've seen the emotions get the best of him. We've seen him go off on refs for, like, the craziest thing. They'll blow the whistle, and they'll call it on Kristaps, and Luka's there like, "Why are you giving me a 10? And the ref is like, "Yo, chill out, dog. I didn't even know
you were going to your point, you know, he does have 15 technical fouls, which means that he's just one away from being from a one-game suspension.
Yep. So, like I said, one more, and like you said, he's suspended. Now, this flagrant, it doesn't factor into the technical foul, so he's not going to be suspended. But
yeah,
I just don't see him not picking up another technical. I just don't. I think he's going to pick up another tech. And if I were him, I would do it on purpose. Because remember, this stuff, like this technical stuff, carries into the playoffs.
Yeah, if I'm the Luka guy in this group, right? I'm the Luka guy. I bet you Skittles he won't get a tech the rest of the year.
No, JJ.
He's going to.
Hear me out.
Hear me. I want him to hear me out. Then I'll take his Skittles afterwards. If I'm Luka, I get a technical foul, take it suspended for a regular season game, rather it be in the playoffs. If you get suspended in the playoffs, look, playoff games are different than regular season games. He gets suspended one game in the playoffs, I'll throw the whole that could jeopardize the entire thing. That's what I'm saying. He should go. But yo, matter of fact, first possession, go up. If you don't get a foul, go to the ref, pull a Curry, throw your mouth guard at him. Don't matter. Get suspended. But in terms of him being a dirty player, no, I believe he is a very chippy player. He is a crybaby, and he knows it himself. He came out and said, "I gotta stop like talking to the ref." I will call him that, no problem. But I just don't. I'm not gonna call him dirty just yet. Now, if he continues on the path he's on, dude, like I said, bro, dude will be dirty before sundown, bro. But I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not gonna call him dirty just yet.
Yeah, no. I'm not gonna call him dirty as well either. I mean, you look at Luka. Luka doesn't give you dirty player vibes. I understand his style of play. You know, he has been a little bit chippy more recently. But guys, this is a player in Luka that a lot of players started want to put the paws on him and on the court, play a little bit physical with him to try and get him out this game, because European players are known for being a little bit on the soft side. A lot of the NBA players, like Martin, the Morris twins, they, you know, when they play Luka, they want to get a little bit chippy on him, But Luka recently he's had it. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't want to be taken lightly anymore. So I think this is just his frustration. He's just taking out his frustration a little bit. But I don't believe he's dirty. Nonetheless, Colin Sexton is what, 6'1", 6'2"? Luka's what, 6'6", 6'7"? I'm sure when he swung his arm back, he wasn't intending to hit the gonads, all right? He wasn't aiming for the ball sack. He just swung his arm back, you know, to get his arm off of him. A lot of players do. He just ended up hitting the nuts. And, you know, it's unfortunate. But, dude, all those technicals that you were talking about, JJ, and what the referees are refereeing now, man, I could say 7 of those 15 technicals that have been called on Luka were nonsense technicals. So honestly, you know,
let me just hop in real quick. Let me just hop in there real quick. Your audio was a little in and out, but I understood the gist. I am not going to give him a pass for that. I'm not going to give any for the technical fouls. I'm not going to give any player. And I'm going to say this, and I've been consistent with this. Are the refs soft as baby? You know what? Yes, they are, and I will not argue that. But again, let's stop acting like when these guys were drafted, they had the refs we had in the 80s and 70s. That's not the case. They were drafted into a situation where we have like soft refs. So it's not like one day all of a sudden a ref woke up and go, you know what? My feelings are hurt. No, the refs came into the league. So I'm not going to give him any type. And on top of that, a lot of the technical fouls that he has, if you actually watch it, the dude, I kid you not, I've never seen a dude literally sprint towards a ref and not get a technical before he made it. I mean, I've seen Ben Wallace sprint. I've seen Ron Artest sprint. I've seen multiple guys sprint. Nothing. Luka's the only dude I know who will sprint, yell at him, and then he gets hit with a tech, has the surprise Pikachu face. I mean, again, and I'm a Luka fan, but I'm not going to give him any pass. I'm sorry. Go ahead, JJ.
Yeah, you guys made good points. I don't think he's at the dirty player point just yet, fellas. You know, I do think that a big part of this is immaturity. You know, the kid is only 22 years old, which, you know, I can't believe. I'm only 29. I'm turning 30 this year, and I can't believe I'm calling him a young man. I feel so old for that. But nonetheless, you know, he is still a kid when it comes to the league. You know, this is a grown man's league, and he's still a young man when it comes to it, even though he does have experience playing in the other league, playing grown men as a kid. You know, a lot of players don't come into the NBA with the experience that he had. That's why he's coming here. He's averaging – what is he averaging this year? 29-8-8? Do I got that right? It might be 29-9-9, actually. I'm not sure. Sorry, that actually, I got a number right here, I want to say. Boom, 28-8-8. See, I know what I'm saying. You know, he's 40-28 now with Dallas, guys. He's currently the fifth seed, which is impressive as of today. They're the fifth seed because I remember a few months back, guys. Sandra, your audio's out right now, just letting you know. But, you know, I remember earlier in the season, we had the discussion where we were talking MVP pride about, you know, I remember earlier in the season, he was my MVP pick. And because it started off so rough that it's like I couldn't see a scenario where they made it into the playoffs comfortably. Like, I thought if they were going to make it in, they're easily going to be a play-in tournament team at best case scenario. They're currently avoiding the play-in, you know, and I think a lot of that could be because, you know, LeBron and AD went down, thus the Lakers gradually declined while everybody kind of ascended and they just got hot at the right time. But nonetheless, let me hear you, Sandra. You good?
Good. Can you guys hear me?
Absolutely. Perfect. Like I was saying, you know, he got the Mavericks to the fifth seed. They're a comfortable wild card team as of today. You know, the standings could easily change within the next couple games. You know, that's how Tate the Races is amazing to watch. You just never know who's going to be where the next morning, guys. But nonetheless, you know, to answer the question directly, I don't think he's there yet. I do think he's an emotional player that sometimes just gets a little too loose. And I do love the fact that even though I did call him immature earlier in my soliloquy, he did show a maturity when he did come out and say, guys, I got to stop doing this. That takes a sign of self, kind of just looking within yourself.
Self-accountability, for sure. Exactly,
Sander. You know, it just really takes a little maturity. So I hope with that, Sander, he is a little more aware of his antics, and hopefully he doesn't develop this dirty player persona.
For sure, for sure. And, you know, I wanted to finish my point by saying I don't think Luke is at the point yet to agree with the both of you guys. But, you know, he has been doing some things that's been like, come on, dude, you're a little bit smarter than that. You've been a pro longer than a lot of these. You know, when he came into the league, you know, he still had at least 5 to 6 years of having pro in his background, you know, playing in the European League. He was playing with grown men. You touched on it, Jay. So I would expect a little bit more from a guy like Luka, but he's still young. He's still learning the NBA. And you're 100% right, Pride. You know, there are some referees that did ref still in the 90s that are refereeing right now. But a lot of these guys that are refereeing right now, like, you know, to your point, they're new referees. So a lot of them are softer than they were back then. I just wish that we still had those OG referees, because when guys are making technical fouls, when they're just talking back and forth, you know, it's competition. They're basketball players. They, you know, there's going to be some trash talking. It shouldn't be a technical foul if I say, come on, JJ, you missed that? Come on, bro. What's going on? And then I get a technical for it. It's just nonsense. That's all I'm saying.
But if that's all that's said, yes, it's nonsense. But again, with soft refs, we got soft players who do not let it go, and they still chirping. You see what I'm saying? There is one thing. I do think the refs are getting better, because I think it was last week, Kevin Durant, there was a call on him, and he was actually talking with the ref, and they actually caught it. I think they were talking for like 45 seconds, and the ref was straight up telling him. See, if those types of things, I don't mind, because KD went up to that ref with respect. It was like, yo, ref, let me talk to you real quick. And then the ref came back.
You could be like,
yeah, exactly. See, the thing is, if you're a soft dude, right, and you coming up to a official who you know is soft, and that is no hidden secret, and then you get a tech, I can't feel bad for you. Matter of fact, I say you deserve it. Give him another one. Double check and eject him for stupidity.
You know, sometimes I wish every sport was the NFL with the penalty flags. Like, I would just love to see every sport throw penalty flags all the time. I think it'd be so entertaining.
You get a flag.
Like, everybody gets a flag, especially the flopping. You flop, you get a flag, and I hope you hit, and I hope it hits the floppers with the flag.
At this point, you know what I want? I want refs wearing snapbacks, so every time they flop, they throw that in the air. So that way, they're really good.
Hey, Atlas Rodriguez. Thank you for watching. You know, he wants us talk about J. Cole about to be a baller in the African League. You know, we'll touch on it real briefly. You know, I personally love J. Cole. He's one of my favorite artists. Man. And if he's going to, you know, look in that endeavor, you know, good luck. You know, these are the athletes that actually take this seriously. So I hope that with him doing this, I hope that he's going in there with the right mindset and not going in with an arrogance of I'm famous, so I can just walk into this, because any league will quickly humble an outsider, and J. Cole would not be an exception to that, Pride.
110%. Like, if he goes in there thinking it's going to be cake, look, I understand it's not going to be the same competition we have in the NBA, but it's still competition. Like, you know, there's no way you look at it. It's still competition. Like, if I can compare this to the fight game, I understand that one championship doesn't have the same amount of talent in terms of the UFC, but there's still talent over there. So if you show up and you think, oh yeah, it's going to be a breeze. Yeah. J. Cole, bro, you not only is your basketball career going down, your rap career might be going down. And I don't want to be that guy to say it, because I love him. That, to me, I be calling him Baby GOAT, you feel me? Because him and LeBron, you feel me? They be in cahoots, you feel me? So LeBron GOAT, J. Cole Baby GOAT. But all jokes aside, though, I think it'll be a good thing, especially for, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's like a Rwanda league over there. So it'd be nice to put some eyes over there as well to help build up the league that they got going on late.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm definitely an advocate for J. Cole joining the team. He's actually a really solid basketball player. He does play in celebrity games. He's constantly working on his game. And he has a really good basketball deal with Puma. And his sneakers aren't that bad, you know? So it's all just building his brand. And I appreciate J. Cole as a rapper. And if he takes this as serious as he takes his rap career, I see no problem with it. I applaud it. Good for him, and he's also going to be bringing eyes to the league, so that's also a plus. So I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
All right, yeah, I can't agree with you guys anymore. You know, so J. Cole, do your thing. He doesn't have an album coming out the off season. May 14th. So everybody who loves J. Cole, make sure you guys listen to it that day. Pucho, thank you for the great question. Thank you for watching as well. But moving on to the next topic.
Thank you, Pucho.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are adding a star player, guys.
Don't do that.
Apparently, you know, reports come out Tim Tebow is going to sign with the Jacksonville Jaguars as a tight end, which reunites him and Urban Meyer once again. You know, they played together. They're player coach back in the Florida days, ended up winning a championship. You know, they had a bad boy team. You remember Aaron Hernandez was on that team. So, you know, they had killers. Let me stop before we get fine. Nonetheless, you know, it was definitely a big run for Tebow. Anybody who remembers the Tebow run back when he was a starter for the Denver Broncos, they had a good run. They ended up going to the playoffs. They ended up beating the Steelers in the surprise that what it was. Don't worry, everybody. I speed that up a little bit just for video purposes. He's not that fast. There's the throw, wide open. We all know actually the thing, but this is the play. This is the Tim Tebow play we all remember. For our viewers who are listening that can't watch, is the dart that he threw to Demaryius Thomas in the AFC wildcard playoff game against the Steelers that won it. And anybody that remembers after that, look at it. You saw John Elway all happy. That's the last time that Tim Tebow says until eventually the man himself lost his job to Mr. Peyton Manning because
An old Peyton Manning. That's how bad this kid was. A broken neck Peyton Manning. Tell the whole story.
I mean, there's some truth to that. But when Peyton Manning knocks on your door, you open it regardless who it is. You know what I mean? Nonetheless, I will start it off with you, Sander. You know, Tim Tebow is a Jacksonville Jaguar now. Do you think this is a good idea or a bad idea for the Jaguars team?
I just want to know one thing from you guys. What is this going to help with him? They say he's signing as the tight end.
He's a star, bro.
He hasn't played in 9 years, okay?
He's a star.
He's 30-something, 36, I believe. He's your tight end? He's 33. He's your tight end one? He's your tight end one? Is that who you're going to give them, your boy Lawrence? It's like, dude.
He's Travis Kelce, bro.
Bro, my thing with Tebow is, it's like, he's old. He's not in football shape. Any sort of the imagination for the past 2-3 years, he was playing baseball. So he's definitely not in football shape. And you know what's so crazy about this? So Jacksonville's his hometown. All the news outlets in Jacksonville, all the local news outlets were praising, oh my God, Tim Tebow's going to play for our team. It's like, dude, this guy's a charity case. The fact that we're even talking about this is insane. Listen, Tim Tebow, you had your run. You had your Cinderella story for like 15 seconds, my man. You showed that wind-up, that highlight that you showed. I thought that was in slow-mo, him winding up to throw that ball to Demaryius Thomas. And no, that was in real time. Listen, this guy, what's his name? Trevor Lawrence was the number one pick not even a month ago. And somehow, some way, we're more focused and everybody wants to talk about Tim Tebow trying out for Jacksonville. When it's like, dude, what is that going to do with Lawrence? I keep on calling him DeMarcus Lawrence, but his name is not DeMarcus, Trevor Lawrence. It's like, what is this going to do but bring bad publicity? Because I believe this is bringing bad publicity to the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's taking the attention away from Trevor Lawrence, which could be a good thing or a bad thing. Me, it's kind of like a bad thing because you drafted this guy number one. You said he's going to be your savior. You already had it locked in, had jerseys sold and everything, had all the season tickets with his face on the cover. You had it done. And you're sitting here putting out a story to Tim Tebow. I'm just saying, where's your priorities at? Where are your priorities at, Jacksonville? You guys have a number one pick who's about to get ready to have all eyes are on him this season because him coming out of college, it was locked in as soon as the last game was played that he's going number one at Jacksonville. So all the pressure is on this man. I can't hear you, Jay.
Sorry about that. Let's be serious. Ever since high school, they thought this kid was going to go number one. It's all a matter of who was going to draft him.
Yeah.
And the story that they're putting out is Tim Tebow trying out for tight end. It's like Jacksonville. We don't care. We don't care about what Tim 100%. Tebow trying out. Because most likely the man's not even gonna make the 53 team roster. So listen, where are your priorities at Jacksonville? I want to know about Trevor Lawrence. I want to know about how he's taking in with the team, how he's communicated with the team with Urban Meyer. I don't give a damn about Tim Tebow. That's how I feel. And I'm sorry. I don't see this helping the Jacksonville Jaguars at all. Because if he's your number one tight end, my man,
yeah, you beat.
You got, bro.
Stop it. He's George Kittle pride.
And let's just say he's not used for catching. What is he going to be used for? And he's an undersized tight end. He's an undersized fullback. What are you going to do? Block your corner at that, dude? This is all bad from here. I feel bad for Trevor Lawrence because you're the star of the team, but yet they're talking about a boy named Tim Tebow hasn't played in 9 years trying out for tight end. Jacksonville's all over the place. I'm sorry.
So, first and foremost, Bucho, to answer your question, the dude was so bad that the Mets just let him walk. His contract expired, and they were like, bro, you're so bad that we literally would risk going out there and playing a field with 8 players than even thinking about giving away pen to sign any paper in this organization. So that let's just get that one out of the way. 2, JJ. If you ever in your life put his name in the same sentence as George Kittle or Travis Kelce, I will throw myself out a window from like a 5-story building. Okay, I will record it for you and I will send it to you, bro. You're about to give me an aneurysm. Okay, let's talk about the great Tim Tebow. Okay, he's a star, right? Let me ask you a question. Do you know what his career passing percentage is? Like I'll tell 20. You, 47.
47.
47. I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't know math. I'm not smart at all. I'm stupid. I dropped out of college. It was too hard for me. Attendance was an issue. Even I know 47% is bad. Every time he went to the most illustrious organization to ever grace God's green earth, the New England Patriots, led by the man, the myth, the legend, Bill Belichick. They tried him out at quarterback. He said, that's not your thing. We're going to put you at tight end. I'm going home. Bye. There's the door. Bye. It's funny. He wanted to be a quarterback until no one wanted him. He thought people were still going to want him. Now he's settled to be a tight end. Let me put it to you this way, bro. If he's your number one tight end, like you said, like, you need to throw the tight end position away. Put another guard out there. That's it. Put another lineman out there. Because ain't no way. Like you said, I'm gonna keep it up with you. Well, how big some of these corners are? He blocking Patrick Peterson and old Patrick Peterson? He blocking Jalen Ramsey? You said a corner. So a lot of these Marshawn Lattimore, he ain't doing nothing to him. I don't understand. Throw him a linebacker,
bro. Shaq Barrett's gonna eat him alive.
But no, see, I'm not even mentioning linebackers because I can imagine this. They'll be like Tebow. You see that guy right there? He's gonna look. Oh, that's Bobby Wagner. You gotta block him, and he'll fit.
Oh my god, the dude's going down. Bobby Wagner, and I jumped.
He's not doing it. He'll go okay, and then he'll go help. He'll go help the receiver, double team a corner. That's how nervous he'll be, right? So, just for clarity's sake, right? There are some other guys out there available. Jesse James is a solid tight end. So is Tyler Eifert, and they're out there chilling. But no, Tim Tebow. You know what? Maybe you want to go younger. That's okay. You do understand there's like 7 undrafted rookies that are waiting out there to sign a contract. Mm-hmm. I'm like, look, man.
But what about the locker room pride? You need a go-getter. You need that.
Oh, you need a go-getter? You're 100% right. You need a go-getter. No, you're right. I apologize. How dare I speak illy of Tim Tebow? You do need a go-getter. You need to go get someone to go get Tim Tebow and go get him out the locker room. That's it. I don't want to hear no notion about how, he's a great Christian guy. I don't want to hear nothing about that. You want to know why? Because when we on that field, guess what? God couldn't bring him a Super Bowl. Go ahead. Keep praying. He better pray, get playing time. Because I'm telling you this right now, bro. When he gets cut and Jacksonville wants to burn everything.
I was just about to get that. question real quick for three of us. Over under he makes the 53-man roster at the start of the season.
I need to see what other roster moves they do. If they do no other roster moves, I can see Urban Meyer giving him a shot. It's sad for me to say, and I dare I say this, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars right now are more willing to keep Tim Tebow than Trevor Lawrence. 110%. That's what this move.
I don't think it might be close, but yeah, no, that's funny. Here, let me get in here though. You know, when I first heard about this earlier today, my first thing I thought about was, what idiot is going to draft Tim Tebow in fantasy this year? Because you know there's going to be that one person in every league is going to be like, I'm going to get Tebow. I'm going to have Tebow on my team. I get it. But is this a good idea or a bad idea? This is an awful idea because Tim Tebow in no sense or way makes your team better at this point. And you mentioned it, Brian. You know, he had the trip in New England where they tried him out, and Belichick was like, well, you're probably better fitted for this position instead of quarterback. He went to the Jets as well, didn't cut it out there. So I don't understand how after a minor league stint in the minor leagues, what makes you want to settle now to play in the NFL for a position that you didn't want to settle for before? And this is a simple answer, guys. He just loves being an athlete. He loves being the fame. He loves the spotlight that being a professional athlete brings. And I just think that right now, he's just really going about it the wrong way, because I think that he could probably go on the rest of his career, his life, being an analyst, because he's already a well-known star. I think he's probably going to decrease his value with this move, because let's just say, because let's be honest right now, one of our favorite words in this show is dog water. You know what dog water was? Look up Tim Tebow's playoff game after that Steelers win at New England. Dog water. That was Tim Tebow in that performance. That was the last time we've seen Tim Tebow as a starter in the NFL. Do you think that tape turned any heads for any GM? There's a reason why he didn't get another starting job in this league. And it just so happened that now his college coach, Urban Meyer, is now a head coach.
His neighbor.
And he's giving – they just have a good personal relationship. Everybody knows that Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow,
he's basically
his adopted son. I don't care what anybody tells me. They go to Sunday church together. You know, that's just what it is.
They pray together.
Exactly, you know, so like it really just took this opportunity for him to get back in the NFL. And Sandra, you made a great point about now Trevor Lawrence is a town and you're taking away from his potential growth. Honestly, Sandra, I don't think Trevor Lawrence fucking blinks one eye at Tim Tebow, because he's not threatened at all by this man. He's like, I could throw lefty and throw over 47%, like Pride said. I'm not worried about this man taking my job. I'm really not. Now, the one thing that I will be worried about, but to be honest with you guys, what if Jacksonville starts out 0-6? You're going to start hearing in the crowd.
Say the same thing.
Tebow. And that might be the only potential problem that I see going on the road. But I do think that the starter fan, and I don't want to put IQ levels with our fans that or sport fans across the world, because I think everybody's intelligent in their own sense. But if anybody thinks that putting in Tim Tebow in place of Trevor Lawrence, and they're both healthy, just because one guy can't buy a win, Tim Tebow's not doing you any favors.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And honestly, I only think he got this opportunity because Urban Meyer purchased a home literally right next door from Tim Tebow.
The dude is a professional celebrity. That's all he cares about. He's not an athlete. We need to stop
saying that. But he's a sports celebrity, though.
No, listen. In order to be an athlete, you need to be good at what you do. That's it. If you're not good, you're just a guy who plays sports.
So no credit.
He's an athletic guy.
If you want to say that, fine. I was an athletic guy who played basketball.
There you go.
I didn't say, oh, yeah, bro, I'm an athlete.
There you go.
And number two. This is the part that baffles me the most, right? Where's the film? Where's the film on him playing tight end? I've been curious. Everyone is like, yo, he's got great hands. Yeah, well, he should have used the hands to throw the ball. Instead of throwing helicopters, he should have been throwing spiral. He could have had it. Bro, I'm seeing no video. I'm seeing nothing. So in my mind, I'm like, look, man, if you want to justify me, how one of the best college – you want to know? I'm gonna tell you why. I love when people say that. You want to know why? College and the NFL are two different things. Just because you're good at college doesn't mean that always going to translate to the professional level. That's not how it works. Tim Tebow came into the league not knowing how to throw, not knowing how to read defenses. He relied on his legs. This is like, that's it. That's all he relied on. He couldn't get better. He wouldn't get better. I hope. You know what? Week one. I want to see who they play. I want to see the game, right? I want him. I want him to run up the middle. I hope they play Seattle. I promise you, Tim Tebow going to take that crap. And I swear, he going to get up. He going to go, coach, coach, I can't do this no more. I want Trevor's spot. Bro, I just want to see him get hit. That's all. That's all I'm here for. After that, I'm never watching another Jaguars game again. Never.
Nonetheless, you know, we have a lot of people that are excited about the Tim Tebow comeback. I'm not. I don't really want the comeback at all. But, you know, one thing that I do love that comes back is my income tax checks. So make sure you guys visit our friends at Rocky Hill Accountants with over 35 years of combined experience. They're the right professionals to handle your financials. So make sure you guys visit them at rockyhillaccountants.com. We're going to transition to the next topic, though. Jacob DeGrom, you know, superstar in the Mets, started pitching, you know, had a good game, you know, came out there for a warm-up pitch, threw a couple pitches and said, whoa, that does not feel good. And now, you know, they did a couple MRIs and it turned out, Sander, that now he's on a 10-day IL and with slight side tightness, and this might take him out for a while. So if I'm the Mets, Sander, am I worried about this or is this just nothing?
Well, to be frank with you, JJ, you know, the Mets shouldn't be too worried because when the MRI came back, you know, it wasn't anything too serious. The doctor says that it wasn't anything too serious. He most likely is going to miss 1 to 2 starts at most. So right now, the Mets, you know, I don't think they should worry. But one thing they should do for sure is make sure they rush back DeGrom because I believe they try to rush back DeGrom from that lower back injury. And, you know, I think he just got hurt a little bit from that because he came back early from that. But right now, the Mets, they're in position. They're like on the chart to possibly make the playoffs this season. And they're not going to sniff playoffs without a guy like DeGrom. So what they need to do is make sure that he is 100% before he comes back. This is a guy in DeGrom who he has battled through injuries. You know, he's played seasons since 2016, had 731 innings. And that's second most amongst all baseball pitchers. And that was dealing through some of the injuries. A guy doesn't pitch over 730 innings and is 100% healthy the whole time. He has been able to through some minor lingering injuries. But you don't want to deal with that too often when you're the Mets because a guy like DeGrom is a generational pitcher. Hands down, he's probably one of the best pitchers, not the best in the game. I always said this. If DeGrom's teams, if whenever DeGrom pitched, if you could give that man 3-4 runs, he's never going to lose. But, you know, when you got DeGrom going out there and you lose games 1-0, the man is giving you an ERA of lower than 0.1. That's 0.3. Phenomenal.
0.83, sorry.
This man, DeGrom, is an alien out there. I believe he was in a Men in Black movie, and he just got away, and Men in Black completely forgot about him because he's an alien. He's pitching out of this world. This guy's control is phenomenal, and he's not the youngest buck guy.
Sander, he was one of the aliens that got away in the Area 51 raid.
Absolutely. I'm not joking. I agree with you there because the dude, listen to this. This dude has pitched games. He has the most losses by 1 point since 2016. He has the most losses by 1 point. And it's to the point where it's 1-0 games. Like that game against the Red Sox that night, they won 1-0. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's against the Red Sox who were on fire at that moment. You understand what I'm trying to say? The Boston Red Sox were on fire at the moment. They're
We just want respect. You know, that's it. We just want respect. Go ahead.
I'm gonna give you respect. But listen, DeGrom deserves respect, okay? Because DeGrom, a lot of the times, you look at DeGrom record, and then you look at his ERA strikeouts, and you're like, wait a minute, how does this not translate? But how can he win these games? But it's literally DeGrom's fault. It's literally not his fault. He will give you 6-7 innings pitch with maybe a hit. With maybe a run, and you guys can't get him a win. I'm telling you, My man King, shout out. Sure. My boy King Joffy, baby, shout out. But, you know, DeGrom is one of those pitchers that, sadly, I think the best thing for DeGrom is possibly to try and get out of there. Go to a team that can give you some offense, because it doesn't get any better than a guy like LeBron, than DeGrom, JJ. And I might call him a LeGrom, but he's that great. But DeGrom, JJ Pride, you don't really get too much better than pitchers. You need to find a way to get this man runs. Take your time with him, Mets. Don't rush him back, because he's your crown jewel. You cannot replace DeGrom. So I wouldn't be too worried if I'm the Mets. Like I said, it's just day IL. He's probably going to miss one or two starts. It's a side strain. It's not too serious, but make sure he's 100%. Do not rush this man back, because you don't want to end up him injured. And then if you want to move him, then the fact that he's injured, it might tarnish it a little bit. Even though I don't care. I'll give up the house for DeGrom. But, you know, nonetheless, I don't think they should be worried, but don't rush him back.
So what I want to do, I want to launch an internal investigation, right? I need to know what Jacob DeGrom did to these guys, because I swear to God, it has to be something personal, because the Mets have no problem hitting. Pete Alonso has no problem hitting dingers every other day, except when all of a sudden DeGrom's on the mound. All of a sudden, the dude is like, you know what? I'll go 0-4. Bro, I don't know what it is.
Who?
My people, they must. Alonso. The dude loves hitting dingers, right? Except when DeGrom's on the mound. All of a sudden, he don't want to swing the bat. Lindor got to New York, right? The dude was like, oh, wait, DeGrom's here? Yeah, let me start hitting record lows. Let me hit my career low. I'm like, what did this man do to you? Like, where's the affair? What is going on here? First and foremost, should the Mets be worried? Yes. They should be panicking, but not because of the injury. See, when you're in a bad situation, right? Let's say you're in a toxic relationship, right? It just takes that one night you go out with your boys. You're away from that toxic environment, and you breathe fresh air, and you're like, huh, so I could have it like this. That's what could possibly happen. You said he might. Oh no. Jacob DeGrom's gonna be like, hey yo, you know what? I'm sick of this. I'm done with y'all. Hey yo, I want to go to the greatest organization ever, the Boston Red Sox. I'm out here trying to get Jacob DeGrom over here. I don't go that far. But
all I hear what you would say. That's all.
If I'm him, I'm worried, because if you put him in, if you take him off the field and you let him clear his mind, the dude is probably gonna be like, at what point do I stop wasting my prime? Like,
Does baseball have rules against that?
Against what?
Tampering?
Like, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. The only way it won't be tampering is if the team tells you, yo, you can go ahead, do your own thing, look, so see if we can get a deal. That type of thing. But that's very rare that ever happens. But 9 times out of 10, 100%, that's illegal. But if I'm the Mets, I'm worried, because, again, look, DeGrom, there's no way DeGrom's not starting to look and go, okay, you guys are starting to try to get me help. But when they get here, they don't support me. They support Thor. They'll support a call-up. But me, who, and I will say this, and I don't care what anyone says, keep your Garrett Cole. Jacob DeGrom is the best pitcher at MLB. You can keep your Kershaw and your Trevor Bauer. Jacob DeGrom is, matter of fact, he'd go. I said it. I don't care. He'd go. I don't even like New York. Hate it with a passion. I'll spit on New York if I could. But Jacob DeGrom? Oh, no. I'm not on him. No, sir. No, sir. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you right now, if New York was crumbling, I'd risk my life. I live in South Carolina. I'll catch a flight to rescue that man. This dude right now, he's going to look, the Mets right now, they're probably going to try to be like, oh, take your time, et cetera, et cetera. You can do that, but don't understand something. Eventually, DeGrom's going to be like, bro, imagine if I was somewhere else. Imagine if I was at Toronto or with the Rays. Or he's going to start thinking to himself, if I can go to a team that can give me a decent run support, imagine what I could be. Because, again, his record looks almost like right now he's 3-2. How are you 3-2? And you're under one. Under
0.83, guys.
Right? Like, to me, that's bizarre to me, you know? Like, so and should the best be
strikeouts too with 65.
Yes, he's top 5 in strikeouts. Like, so if I'm the Mets should be worried, but not because of the injury. Like you said, the injury is it's pretty tame. You know, it's just relax. No, we're not going to have you throw. We're going to have you just chill out for a little bit. I'm not concerned about that. I'm more concerned about this dude's eventually going to be like, okay, but this is ridiculous. Like, I'm able to smell fresh air, and every time I step in the park, all of a sudden there's trash cans everywhere. Like, you're a trash can, and you're a trash can, and you're a trash can, and I'm the only goat on the field. It's ridiculous. So should they be worried? Yes, but not because of the injury, but because potentially – Jacob DeRoy could get sick of everything and just be like, hey, yo, I'm taking my ball. I'm going home.
Yeah, he could look across the street, baby, and see all those home runs being hit.
I'm going to tell you this right now. If he does that, I'm going to tell you right now. If he does that, he's the worst pitcher in all of baseball. That's it. I lost it for him. I would treat him I used to treat Trevor Bauer. When he went to the Dodgers, I thought he was trash. Now he's kind of – he's doing his thing, so I got to take it back. But if Grom does that, I hope he sprains his ankle.
So you wouldn't rescue him if he was a Yankee, though?
No. If he was like Gerrit Cole, right now, Gerrit Cole falls down, I'm laughing. Jacob DeGrom falls, I call him, stay there, I'll fly and pick him up.
You know, to answer the question, though, yes, you know, if I'm the Mets, I'm definitely worried for both the reasons you guys mentioned. Anytime your star guy goes down, you're obviously worried. And unfortunately for us guys, I think that we will all love to see Jacob DeGrom in a different jersey. But the Mets got him locked to 2025. And I doubt they're going to trade him anytime soon. So unless, you know, things go really sour between the two parties, he's going to be a Met for sure. And, you know, we're an interactive show, so we love to talk with our fans. And Julian Rodriguez came out here and said, hey, do you think that Usman and Poe are going to fight? Apparently, Bleacher Report said that Dana. Well, I'll leave it at this. You left it pretty vague, Julian. You said Paul, so I'm not sure if you mean Logan or Jake.
He means Jake.
Well, nonetheless, either Paul brother, if Kamaru Usman punches one, they're both gonna feel it. So 100%. I'll leave it at that. You know, 100%. Like, do I think it'll be entertaining? Absolutely not, because I'm already on the fence about the whole Floyd and Paul thing. Mayweather thing. Like, I'm going to watch it because I'm entertained, but like I told you, Pride, like, it's disrespectful to the sport itself. Now, if you put this man in the octagon against arguably the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world right now,
I'm not watching that. Tomorrow, because I feel like I'll get arrested.
Are we going to agree with that?
Is that what?
Oh, yeah.
Usman right now is the best pound-for-pound in the UFC.
No debate. Sure. If you're debating, you got to fight.
He should be number one.
So you're going to throw this man... You know, like I said, if Usman punches one Paul brother, they're both going to feel it. There you go, Julian. Yeah. But it is Monday, and I want to catch up on our Blazing Weekend predictions. Our man, Sander, right now, you are on fire, baby. You got it right, so I'll let you have your shine. Talk to me
about it. Hey, guys, it was a fun weekend. We had some fights. We had some great NBA. My prediction this weekend was Miami was going to go 2-0 this weekend, get two games above the play-in tournament, and beat the Boston Celtics on Sunday.
Y'all not winning the final.
My boy Tyler Hero showed up. He put him on reminder. He was like, wait a minute. Y'all forgot my name. Y'all forgot what I did to y'all in the playoff. And dropped a smooth 30-piece on them Celtics, boy. But first of all, too, that Minnesota game, my boy Jimmy Butler was punking Cal Anthony Towns.
He wasn't punking nobody.
It was hilarious.
He wasn't punking nobody.
He said, man, you soft. I already punked you.
Imagine saying soft when you're walking away, though. Think about it. He started off and walking away. He ain't punking nobody.
We got the dub, baby. Yo. That was punking, yo, baby.
Cap put the paws on him. Cal about to put the paws on him.
But nonetheless, man, my Miami Heat came through, and we two games above the play-in, guys, so I'm happy about that.
Good. No matter if you're on the play-in, y'all finna get played out the playoffs, so I'm gone. I don't even care. Y'all get played out the playoffs. So I don't even care.
How was your weekend?
No. Oh, yeah, me, oh. I finally, y'all gonna call me cheap. I don't care, okay? Y'all can drink cold coffee. I don't care. You feel me? I'm corny. You feel me? I'm just hype. The GOAT handle his business, okay? He made Billy Joe Saunders Q-U-I-T quit. I don't care what nobody says. He made him quit. I'm gonna tell you, round 8, hit him. He was like, oh, no, mommy. When he felt that hit, he was not coming back for round 9. Ain't no way. You look at that. Look at him stopping. Oh, whoa. On a slip and slide. Look at him. Whoa. Totally, dude. Like, my dude's on a slope right now. Look at him. Para tuya. Y tu madre también. Look at that. Boom. The instant he felt that shot, he wasn't coming up. When he sat down on that stool, His manager was like, "All right, bro, you know, you feel good." He didn't want the problems. You feel me? So Canelo Alvarez handled his business. I don't know why he want to fight Plant now, but whatever. My prediction for this weekend, you feel me, is he gonna win whoever he fights, and that's it. That's gonna be my cheap win every time. I don't care what nobody says.
His energy a little big for a guy to say unanimous decision, right?
Whoa! Come on! I see. I love that energy. Again, Light had the same energy because he said Yuri was gonna be Cruz by unanimous decision.
Yeah, you
he
got
her. That elbow. Don't do that. This is my moment. This is my time to shine. Don't do that. You feel me?
Sorry, I'm bright right now. I had to take a little bit of your shine because I have no shine. I predicted that my Hurricanes were gonna win this weekend, and they lost.
You bad luck.
They're gonna win by three, and they actually lost embarrassing to the Predators 1-3. And they're currently tied with Vegas because they only put up 1 point in that loss, which means if Vegas came out, tied them up, and the Hurricanes only got one game while Vegas still has two. So if Vegas outscores them, they won't get that President's Trophy, unfortunately. But
yeah, I will say this, bro. It was weird because I kind of was tuning in and out of that game. Carolina was playing like real almost lazy. I don't want to say lazy because there were some dudes who was, but like overall, bro, it's like it's almost like they kind of just came out nonchalant and was like, oh, it's gonna be an easy dub. And then like the third period came and they looked up and they're like,
Woo! I wasn't even aware of Cotto fighting, but you know, we'll look it up, Pucho, and maybe we'll touch on it on Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Stay tuned, my friend. We are Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys check us out on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, make sure you guys check out our website at clovercrestmedia.com/StirThePotSports. And check us out on Spotify, CMG Sports, and Stir the Pot Sports will pop right up. Great show, guys. Always a great way to start the week with you guys. Love talking sports to you guys. So you guys ready for tonight's game?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Cool. I'm JJ Vargas alongside my brother Sanders Sanchez and Riley Barrett. We'll catch you on Wednesday.
The Giants are running New York like the times as Danny is dropping all sorts of dimes. Saquon's thighs are ruining defenses' lives and Leonard Williams making opposing QBs feel him. Receivers think it's scary to line up across James Bradbury, and the Giants have a bright future led by coach, judge, jury, and executioner. Tune in to Drawing About the G-Men every Wednesday at 6, live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Twitch.
My brain's saying go Whitaker, my heart's saying go Gastelum, so I'm gonna go Gastelum.
I gotta tell you, your words confuse me.
Standing there with the bat, and then here comes this Bugs Bunny pitch. Oh. Where is this going?
I like it because he's makes some sense right until like the last 4 or 5 seconds. And then everything goes different than what he just said, and a different name comes out of his mouth. Yeah.
Throwing Jabs, available for download on your favorite podcast.